Welcome to another episode of the Left of Lansing podcast with Pat Johnston. A progressive insight into Michigan's political and cultural world. And of course, an entertaining podcast designed to shine a light on how to make Michigan's political machine work for the people. Now, from the Left of Lansing headquarters, located in his attic, here's the award-winning Pat Johnston.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to another installment of Michigan's premier progressive podcast. And special thanks once again to my great friend Jessica for being the voice of this venture. And as she always says right here, this podcast is progressivism with passion. And as you'll hear Jessica announce later on, there are a plethora of ways that you can contact me, including on Twitter, or is it X, or X-er, or whatever brilliant strategy Elon Musk came up with as he continues to destroy that site. You know, Twitter was a nice place where people could follow each other, share articles, pictures, videos, and debate subjects. After Musk took it over for the main reason that he didn't like that people could openly and freely make fun of him and his brand of toxic male right-wing nuttery, Twitter has sucked. That's just the plain truth. It sucks. It's a sinking ship. I started receiving these spam direct messages right after he took over Twitter. People I didn't follow, especially right-wing loons, began popping up on my feed. I didn't follow them, but all of a sudden, here they are. Even more, Musk wanted to charge $8 to receive the best his crappy brand of Twitter could offer. Sorry, I wasn't doing that just to get a blue check mark. And speaking of branding, Musk announced this past week that in order to save his fledgling ship, which he spent billions on, he was retiring the Twitter blue bird and naming his new brand of Twitter as X. X? Really? X. Oh, that's brilliance, Elon. Sheer brilliance. I'm sure calling it X is just what the doctor ordered. And to show you just how wise of a businessman Elon Musk really is, here's a CNBC article detailing how much thought and consideration Musk gave on his new creation, which will, I suppose, revolutionize social media as we know it. And I quote, Musk, who serves as an executive chairman and CTO of the company, said on Monday that tweets will now be called X's. How brilliant, by the way. Though when asked about what retweets would be called, he wrote that the, quote, concept should be rethought. The man who's playing chess while we all play checkers didn't think about what retweets would be called? Retweeting is in the pop culture vernacular, and it is one of the primary reasons why people visited Twitter. And this so-called genius failed to think about what retweeting in X would be called? Oh, it's a concept that should be rethought. This guy didn't give a thought of what he was doing, and it simply just proves to all of us that Elon Musk is not a smart guy. It also proves to me why we must raise taxes on people like Elon Musk. If they have all this wealth, all of this money to throw around the place, then let's please tax them at higher rates so we can have good things here in this country. Musk proudly puts his full ignorance on display by sharing wacko right-wing conspiracy theories on Twitter, or sorry, X, just as he did this week when trying to blame the COVID vaccines for LeBron James' 18-year-old son suffering a cardiac arrest during a basketball workout. Musk tweeted, or excuse me, X-tweeted, or X-ered, or whatever you want to call it, he tweeted the following. Here you go. We cannot ascribe everything to the vaccine, but by the same token, we cannot ascribe nothing. Myocarditis is a known side effect. The only question is whether it is rare or common. That's the kind of garbage that Elon Musk is tweeting right now, or Xing. But as Josh Fiallo of the Daily Beast reported, because, you know, fact-checking is still a thing here in this free world, this is what he said, and I quote, to most experts, it's not a question. The CDC has determined that cases of myocarditis, the inflammation of the heart muscle, have rarely been reported in connection to the vaccine and usually happen the few days immediately after the vaccination. Even more, Josh writes how the American Heart Association says myocarditis is still more common, though still rare, with those suffering from COVID itself than getting the vaccine. Again, this is the type of trash that Elon Musk paid $44 billion for him to spread to the masses. Please tax the rich now. By the way, glad to hear Bronny James is in stable condition, and I feel sorry for the James family who is now being thrown into Elon's mountain of lies. And Musk says these stupid things despite a study showing that right-wing Republicans were more likely to die than others once the vaccines became available. David O'Valley from The Washington Post gave the details, and I quote in his story, "The report in the journal JAMA Internal Medicine underscores the partisan divide over coronavirus vaccines that have saved lives but continue to roil American politics even as the pandemic has waned. Yale University researchers found that registered Republicans had a higher rate of excess deaths than Democrats in the months following when vaccines became available for adults in April of 2021. The study does not directly attribute deaths to COVID-19. Instead, excess mortality refers to the overall rate of deaths exceeding what would be expected from historical trends." Okay, so when COVID first hit in 2020 and through the first part of 2021, the virus killed both Democratic and Republican voters at about the same clip. But then, once the vaccines became available, researchers noticed a shift. That's right, again, from David O'Valley's story. But after April 2021, the gap in excess death rates emerged, with the rate for Republicans at 7.7 percentage points higher than the rate for Democrats. For Republicans, that translated into a 43% increase in excess deaths. Researchers said the gap in excess death rates was larger in counties with lower vaccination rates and noted that the gap was primarily driven by voters in Ohio. The results suggested that differences in vaccination attitudes and the uptake among Republicans and Democratic voters may have been factors in the severity and trajectory of the pandemic in the United States. And the Yale study adds to a growing body of research indicating that Republican messaging on vaccines and other public health measures such as mask wearing, limiting crowds, and social distancing may have led to preventable deaths. Now, this isn't breaking news to anyone in the thinking world, but it's still astounding that right-wing leaders, Republicans, grifters like Elon Musk or RFK Jr., whose dad, by the way, would have been ashamed by him, and even a former president convinced their followers that taking less precautions during COVID was the best way to make liberals cry. That was the main reason. The New York Times also released a story this week showing how Trump wannabe fascist Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' disregard for the vaccines during the Delta wave resulted in Floridians dying, and I quote, "at a higher rate adjusted for age than residents of almost any other state during the Delta wave," and that is according to a Times analysis. I mean, it is so sad. And how many stories have we read where right-wingers suddenly felt duped when it was too late, as they faded away on their deathbeds? And the right-wing echo chamber still happily grifts its followers to travel down this exact same rabbit hole, which is why Donald Trump will once again be the Republican Party's nominee. The so-called Grand Old Party is nothing more than a conspiracy-minded, victim card-playing, white grievance anger machine with no basis in reality. And it's now led by people who happily tout their bigoted, racist, fascist beliefs. And the Republican Party has nowhere to go but to follow them because the right-wing crazies are the Republican Party. We've seen it here in Michigan, where 16 fake Republican electors, one of them the former co-chair of the party, Michon Maddock, are being charged with election fraud as they tried to steal the election for their dear leader, Donald Trump. And now they will most likely be facing long prison sentences, all because they were willing to throw away our democratic principles for Donald Trump. You know, but it's just not them. I mean, my Republican Congressman John Molinar of Midland joined in the fray by signing on with a lawsuit that would have overturned the presidential election. And even this right-wing Supreme Court denied to even give that lawsuit a hearing. John Molinar was to the right of the right-wing Supreme Court. And then you've got another Michigan Republican Congressman, John James, who once criticized Donald Trump over the January 6th insurrection, but is now joining ranks of all of his fellow Republican congressmen here in the state by backing Donald Trump. They can't help it. They have to join everyone else traveling down the far right-wing rabbit hole, or else they lose their primary races against an even further right-wing candidate and lose their prestige and power. That's why you are seeing Molinar and John James and other state Republican office holders suddenly have this kind of change of heart when it comes to the Goshen Electric Battery Plant in Mecosta County. Once people learn that Goshen's parent company was from China, some of these lawmakers ended up utilizing the very same anti-Chinese xenophobic words and actions that many of their followers are using about this plant. And it's sad because this project could really help the struggling Big Rapids area, which features a significant amount of people living in poverty. But even more, there are legitimate concerns revolving around this plant, like corporate welfare and wages for workers. Again, we've seen time and time again where states shower corporations with cash to bring these corporations home, but then it becomes apparent that all those promises that corporations listed could not be met. Foxconn in Wisconsin, by the way, is just one example. But the right wing didn't focus on that, no. The right wing only focused on bigotry and xenophobia when it came to the creation of this plant. Well, that and that it's being built during the Democratic Whitmer administration, and they don't exactly want her taking any kind of credit for any kind of job creation here in the state. Joining me in a moment to talk more about this Goshen Electric Battery Plant controversy is Anna Gustafson from Michigan Advance. She'll be on here in just a moment. You are listening to LOL.
Listening to Left of Lansing. If the podcast isn't enough and you are in need of more Pat, follow him on Twitter and like him on Facebook. Also, don't forget you can read more of his thoughts and hear an archive of past episodes on leftoflansing.com.
That's right, I always love hearing from you, and I appreciate the feedback. You can always reach me at leftoflansing@gmail.com, or you can chat with me on Twitter, or is that X? I don't know, whatever it is, you can find me there, or Facebook, or on Threads, and I am on the gram as well. Plus, when you have a chance, please subscribe and give the show a 5-star review wherever you listen to your pods. Okay, last month I talked a bit about the whole controversy surrounding the construction of the Goshen Electric Car Battery Component Plant around the Mecosta County town of Big Rapids. Now, local leaders, for the most part, jumped at the chance to welcome in the California-based company's plan to build a $2.36 billion plant to their area. But many others tried to block the plant from ever being built due to the fact that Goshen's parent company is headquartered in China. That's led to some stiff resistance from many right-wing voices and politicians in the area and from across the state. In fact, much of the criticism leveled by these opponents tend to swerve down the path of xenophobia and anti-Asian rhetoric. Now, it's strange because there was a time, just a few years ago, that Michigan Republicans embraced business partnerships with Chinese companies, especially since Governor Gretchen Whitmer's predecessor, Republican Rick Snyder, worked on bringing in some Chinese companies to do business here in Michigan. Joining me this week to talk more about this is Anna Gustafson. Anna's a reporter with Michigan Advance, which is my favorite place to read up on Michigan politics and also how national politics affects the state of Michigan. Anna wrote an extensive and highly informative piece on the Goshen Plant controversy titled, "A Proposed Goshen Plant Has Turned Neighbors and Friends into Enemies." And she's here to share some of those details here with us this week. Anna, thank you so very much for talking with me, despite your extremely busy schedule.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I've been wanting to talk to you here for a while about this story. Now, I know you were on the road to cover another important story happening here this week. But before we talk about that, could you give some background on this whole Goshen plant? And maybe you could start by discussing how it won state funding to get built in Mecosta County.
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been kind of a long time economic development goal for the Whitmer administration and for MEDC folks. And I mean, essentially, the idea is to create a couple thousand jobs. I think it would create 2,350 jobs in Mecosta County, which is a pretty rural area. There's a total of about, I think, 40,000 people in, I believe, about a one-fifth of those individuals, I think 18%, live in poverty. So they had wanted to add some higher paying jobs in the area. It's interesting to watch kind of what happened with the support for it when it was initially announced in the end of 2021. There had been largely bipartisan support for it. And we saw, I think they're going to be getting about $800 million in state incentives. So, and that includes the last batch of state funding, which they recently just got in April. So that's $175 million that the Senate Appropriations Committee agreed to give as part of SOAR funding, which goes to MEDC, which then gives that funding to Goshen to build the plant. So anyway, that's kind of the backstory about how they got their funding. When they originally announced it, and there was a lot of bipartisan support for it, we started seeing a lot of anti-Goshen language coming from Tudor Dixon, who at that time was running against Gretchen Whitmer. And that is really sort of what a lot of folks are saying really stirred the pot when it came to anti-Goshen sentiment. It really originated with Tudor Dixon, and that spread kind of into the Republican congressional delegates from Michigan, as well as other local Republicans who really have kind of been largely split on this. There's a lot of local Republicans who are in favor of it and want the job creation. And then at the state level, Republicans who have been pretty critical of it after Tudor Dixon kind of launched her anti-Goshen campaign.
That's a terrific overview of the story there. And I want to talk more about what people like Tudor Dixon did to get everybody fired up there. But first, I just want to go back. You mentioned SOAR funding. What is SOAR funding for those who may not know?
Yeah, so it's, I think the acronym is Strategic Outreach and Attraction Reserve, if I'm remembering that correctly, which Governor Whitmer and the legislature launched in December of 2021. The idea is basically it is funding that would go towards kind of major economic development in the state.
Gotcha, gotcha. So for instance, Ford was able to receive some of the SOAR funds for some projects it's going to be having here in the state.
The Marshall. Yep. Mm-hmm.
One part of your story on Michigan Advance that caught my eye, too, was at first it did seem like, I don't know, it just seemed like it had some wide support, and especially from the local leaders, because you brought that up. I mean, the local leaders like county commissioners, and most of them Republican county commissioners, they were excited about the prospect of getting this battery plant built there. I mean, I can understand that.
They were. It was one of the sadder things when I was talking to folks for this story, because a lot of people have talked about what the fallout, not just politically, but just the fallout that has happened with Goshen. I mean, so Randy Vetter, who is a commissioner of Mecosta County, he pointed out that his board voted unanimously to support a resolution for the project. A lot of folks have just talked about, you know, the fact that with one-fifth of the population living in poverty in the county, you know, a lot of people really are focusing on what to do about that, and they want to see higher paying jobs. You know, so I think Randy Vetter, you know, one of his quotes in my story is he was talking about how he was talking to a friend who's vehemently opposed to the plant. And he was saying that, so the quote is, if this community doesn't grow, it's going to wither up and blow away. It won't be here in 25 years because it can't survive without some growth. I mean, that's something that I heard from a number of local Republicans, you know, and saying why they are supporting the project, despite the fact that it's being championed from a Democratic governor. So it's pretty interesting. And, you know, and he was talking too about kind of a lot of the Republicans who have come out against it. I mean, certainly you have like people like John Molinar, who represents that area. So he's been very vocal against it. But there have been a lot of Republicans from pretty far outside of the area who have really focused their language around being anti-Goshen. So, for example, I think Muskegon County GOP has been very, very active in getting folks to go protest it. Right. So, I mean, a number of people who are outside of that area who have been focused on being anti-Goshen, which has raised a lot of, I think, a lot of concerns for folks in that area, you know, especially when you're talking about kind of who is protesting it and why.
Right. And I can understand why some would be a little leery of the state of Michigan throwing some $800 million at the project, because despite the fact that, as you write, the new plant will create over 2,300 jobs, with an hourly average wage of, what, $29, many believe that big-time business incentives or corporate welfare doesn't sometimes turn out to deliver all of those grand promises. But here's the thing. While I think that might be, like, a pretty good argument, that's not what happened here. That's not what drove some of these people to suddenly turn against it. And when I mean some, Anna, I'm talking about the right wing and the right wing Republicans and Republicans in general, whatever. Something suddenly made them do an about face and fight against this project. What was it?
Yeah, so I think it's definitely nuanced. So for example, I talked to Tom Kuntz, who represents that area. So he's a state representative. He's a Republican, you know, and he was talking about how he originally was really for this project and was a pretty strong supporter of it. When I was talking to him, he was just saying that he loved the job creation. He thought it would be good for the community. That I think what he said told me he was just all for it, right? And then that changed. He didn't attribute that change to Tudor Dixon, but what he said was that he changed because of his concerns around the company's ties to China. And that is largely what got him to change. And, you know, when I was talking to critics and to some folks who study Michigan politics and other folks who study Chinese politics, you know, they were saying that wave that we started seeing of that anti-Goshen wave just really largely emanated from Tudor Dixon raising concerns about that. And from the beginning, I mean, really right as the governor was announcing this project, that's when Tudor Dixon, a lot of her anti-Goshen statements. And so as that was occurring, the Republicans who had originally come out for it, so people like Tom Kuntz, it was really, you know, within a matter of months, he was, you know, sort of saying the same things that Tudor Dixon had been saying with regards to concerns around the CCP, so the Chinese Communist Party and the company's ties to China. Does that answer the question, Pat?
That does. And Tudor Dixon, of course, she ran on the Republican ticket for governor, going up against the incumbent, Gretchen Whitmer. And of course, Gretchen Whitmer won big time in that race. But Tudor used this plant as one of her major planks, right? And you mentioned the Senator Kuntz out of Clare, right? I think that's part of his district. And as you said, he was originally for it and is now against it. He claims, though, that his stance is not anti-Asian or anti-Chinese sentiment, but he also says that the Chinese government is the enemy. Now, again, he says he doesn't believe the Goshen battery plant will lead to some infiltration of the Chinese government in Big Rapids. But still, and this is where my mind has been, by opposing it, due to saying that the Chinese government is the enemy, he is still indicating a lack of trust with the company, which only, and this is how I see it, Anna, I don't know, I'm just interested in your viewpoint, I think that only adds fuel to the whole fire. And he and others like him, they can't really successfully walk this tightrope, can they?
Yeah, I think this is something that I had really wanted to get into in the story and that I ended up talking to a lot of folks about, which is kind of like, what does it mean to have a nuanced conversation around U.S. relations with China, right? And what it means to have that without using xenophobic language. We went on to see from some right-wing politicians when it came to Goshen. It's hard because it's, you know, what really folks were talking to me about is that there's this conversation around Goshen that, you know, it's rooted in our current political climate, but it does not have kind of this nuanced understanding about China that you need to have in order to avoid xenophobia, right? And racism. Mm-hmm. And so that's dangerous, right? I mean, I talked to like Poppy C.S. Hernandez from the Whitman administration who works on equity and inclusion. And she was just saying that when she talks to people, especially like Chinese and Asian Americans, a lot of them will talk about kind of the hate crimes that they saw, you know, emanate from anti-Chinese language coming from the Trump administration during the pandemic, and then how that kind of filtered down to the local level. Right. And then what they're worried is going to happen from the anti-China language that we're seeing around Goshen. And so there's a lot of fear and concern there that translates to xenophobia, which then translates to hate crimes, which then translates to just further violence against Chinese and Asian Americans. So there's a lot of concern there that I heard from folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right about everything being nuanced, because I'm not saying that China is this country's great friend, nor am I saying that I agree with its oppressive authoritarian government. Even President Biden recently called the Chinese president a dictator. So, I mean, I think both Democrats and Republicans have each taken stances throughout the years against China with tariffs and sanctions and what have you. But I guess what's different with the opposition to this plant, the main opposition that I'm hearing, is just how those against it are using this anti-China language that really could put people in danger. And sad part is, like, according to your research, is that experts have told you in your story that the likelihood of the Chinese government infiltrating the state is nil. It will not happen. And that there's really no chance that it could hold any kind of influence over the state. It's just not possible. And I don't know, somebody like me, that's the maddening part.
Yeah, I got to talk to Mary Gallagher, who was, for me, was really wonderful to talk to. She's an expert on Chinese politics, and she's I believe, a comparative politics and political science professor at U of M, and has spent extensive time in China. And, you know, and she was saying that this idea that people like Tudor Dixon and Christina Karamo, who's the Michigan GOP chair, have talked about when it comes to the Chinese Communist Party using Goshen as a way to sort of infiltrate Michigan, right, to hold political and financial influence here. She said that it's just not true. I mean, I think that's verbatim what she said. And you know, she was like, there are laws, American laws and regulations that companies have to abide by, right? I mean, any company, American or not, you know, has to abide by our labor laws, by our environmental laws, which she noted are stricter than in China. You know, there's this complexity around kind of what Goshen is. So something that, you know, I wanted to also point out is that the board is, I believe it's 1/3 German, 1/3 American, and 1/3 Chinese. And so Volkswagen, which is based in Germany, also owns about 26% of the company. So it's like, when you're talking about what Goshen actually is, I mean, that's also kind of a complicated conversation.
And if there's one thing we just can't do for some reason in today's politics, it's talk nuance. Right. I think you're probably seeing that. You know, you mentioned Republican Congressman John Molinar. I live in Gratiot County, so he's my congressman. And I have to say, I remember interviewing him about 10 years ago, back when I worked in talk radio. He was a state senator at the time. And I have to say, he seemed like, to me, kind of your standard pro-business Republican back then. But mm-hmm. Now as a congressman, you wrote how he joined up with GOP chairwoman Christina Karamo at protests over the plant protests that also included video messages by other right-wing figureheads, such as, I think, Glenn Beck, right? I think he was mm-hmm. one of them. Is this just a sign from all, and not just with this story that you reported on, but from all of your reporting, is this just a sign that if someone like John Molinar wants to remain in power and not face a primary from the right, this is kind of what they have to do?
It's a tough question. I mean, it's like, we definitely obviously have seen kind of the role that far right extremism have continued to play in Republican politics, right? And what people feel like they need to do, like you were saying, to avoid a primary. Molinar, you know, for this story, I had reached out to his office because I had really wanted to talk to him about it. I mean, he sent out a number of statements around Goshen that, you know, that are basically kind of saying the same thing as Dixon and Karamo, right? Which is, this is the CCP trying to have influence in the country. And they declined an interview, which isn't rare, but you know, they did. But it is disappointing, right? Because I mean, he's been very vocal. I mean, he wrote an op-ed, I think, for the Detroit News about, you know, why he's opposed to Goshen. A number of other congressional members have also really jumped on the anti-Goshen train. I mean, Lisa McClain, she a speech on the House floor about Goshen and said the same things, right? I mean, she said that this was the CCP trying to take over the area. John James, he actually, if I'm remembering correctly, he introduced legislation. I would need to go back into this, but he definitely has introduced legislation around the idea of foreign companies, so like Goshen, not being able to purchase property in the U.S. So
yeah, it is the reality of the situation, though. And this is where the Republican Party is. If these guys like John James or like John Molinar are going to remain in power, they have to keep trending further and further and further to the right and appeasing those on the right side, or else their political careers could be over. Anna, I've got only a couple of more minutes here with you, and I need to ask you, how much of this backlash was due to the fact that the project is happening under Governor Whitmer's watch?
I think that a lot of what we saw with regards to, especially with Republicans coming out against the project, followed Tudor Dixon using her platform to be against it. And that's happening during an election year, right? When she was running against Whitmer, she was using Goshen as one of her main talking points when she would talk about the Whitmer administration and the fact that state funding was being used for the project, which is something that is not rare, right? I mean, Democratic and Republican administrations have done that for years. So yeah, I mean, I definitely think that that is tied to happening under a Democratic governor for sure.
Not to interrupt you, but how about a backlash against it because it's an electric battery plant? plant. I mean, not so much that it's just from China, but just in general that it's an electric battery plant.
Potentially. I mean, that's not something that I had extensive conversations with people about. I mean, people really, really seem to be focusing a lot, at least in terms of why Republicans were against it. We're largely focusing on the CCP aspect, right? The Chinese Communist Party aspect. Yeah. I did want to point out, you know, this is where it gets kind of a little bit gets nuanced too, because we do have Democratic lawmakers who have come out, also have come out against it, but not, right. But they have been very, you know, kind of emphatic that they're not doing it because of its ties to China. Like Jeff Irwin was saying that he voted against funding for it, but his direct quote, he didn't agree with the xenophobic comments coming from his Republican colleagues, but he was against it because he feels like the jobs that are going to be created are not going to be high enough wages and they won't have benefit.
Yeah, it was more of a pro-worker kind of angle he was going for. Yeah, thanks for bringing it up, though, too, because, couple Democrats did vote against it, but not for the reasons that we've been talking about, why the right wing has been going up against it. For all intents and purposes, the plant is a go?
It's likely. So it's not definite. So they still need to, there are a number of things the company still needs to do. They still have to make a number of property purchases for the plant. They also need to submit their plans to Eagle. So they need to submit plans to the state as far as kind of what their emissions are going to be, air emissions, what their water intake is going to be. And then those need to be approved by the state. The company has said that they expect it to be up and running by 2025, but they haven't submitted any plans to the state yet, you know, which take a little bit of time. You know, it can take, depending on what each permit is, it can take weeks or months to approve if they need to have public comment around it.
Okay, well, then we will see if it will someday be able to fulfill all of its promises for the people of Big Rapids and beyond. I hope so. But, you know, we will all keep an eye on that. All right, Anna, you are on your way to Ottawa County. I think I know why, but go ahead and tell everybody, because this is an upcoming story that will appear in Michigan Advance real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now I am working on sort of a deep dive into Ottawa County politics, what is happening with the political landscape there. We've seen a far right group called Ottawa Impact take over the county commissioners. So that has been a big point of contention over there. And then so the deputy administrator for Ottawa County has just resigned. So he resigned yesterday. So that is likely what we're going to be reporting on. Patrick Waterman, who works under John Gibbs. So if you remember him, he ran against Peter Meyer, defeated him in the Republican primary, and then he went on to lose the general election.
And everyone will be able to read all about it in Michigan Advance. Anna Gustafson from Michigan Advance. People can check out all of your work by simply clicking your name at MichiganAdvance.com, right?
Correct, yeah.
Well, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule. I'd love to have you back, Anna, sometime here again soon. And I cannot wait to read your Ottawa County Commission story and everything else that you write on MichiganAdvance.com. Thanks again for being on.
Thank you so much, Pat. This was great.
It's progressivism with passion. It's the Left of Lansing podcast, where Pat shines a light on Michigan's progressive movement. Contact Pat at leftoflansing@gmail.com.
Look, if there's ever a story or a guest that you believe I should highlight here on Left of Lansing, never ever hesitate to drop me a line at leftoflansing@gmail.com. I mean, the goal of this podcast is to spotlight and celebrate the progressives fighting against the right-wing extremism and fighting to make the state and thereby the country a better place for us to live and exist amongst each other. For example, Governor Whitmer signed the education budget into law, and now Michigan joins just a handful of other blue states which give kids a free breakfast and lunch if they want it. That kind of universal meal program for public school kids helps not just parents, teachers, but it also helps school districts. I mean, additionally, it also removes the tedious paperwork that's needed for a means-tested lunch program, and it removes lunch shaming. It's such a common sense idea, which makes it a progressive idea. Yes, progressives were the ones trying to remove some government bureaucracy, but the so-called small government Republican Party battled, and it won, to keep big government in our lives. Now, you see, that's how progressive ideas begin to not only ease the financial burden for parents, kids, and schools, but it also helps lead to a better educated future. Right-wingers who are against it, well, their arguments, of course, as always, lack any kind of rational or moral thought, kind of like many other things that they're against right now. I mean, congressional Republicans blocked a national free lunch program, which was already up and running during the pandemic. It was successful, and it worked out very well, which is why the radical Republican Party wanted it destroyed. The program helped public school kids, and they can't accept that, so they ended the universal lunch program because, well, cruelty and stupidity is the point. Thanks again to Anna Gustafson from Michigan Advance for being on to talk about the Goshen car battery component plant and the controversy caused by the right wing. I'm going to use this now as my last call to talk more about it. I mentioned how my Republican Congressman John Molinar of Midland has been railing against the Goshen project. Now, Molinar, as we talked about earlier, joined forces with right-wingers such as the nutjob GOP chair Christina Caramo in spewing anti-Chinese, anti-Asian hate speech in his fight against Goshen. Now, Molinar sent out an email this week, yes, I do get his emails, in which he talked about his questioning of Assistant Secretary of Defense Eli Ratner on the Biden administration's policies against the Chinese Communist Party. And here's what Molinar says in the email, and I quote, Assistant Secretary of Defense Eli Ratner was clear. It does not make sense to have a company with ties to the Chinese Communist Party building factories in our state, especially when the Michigan National Guard is hosting trainings for the Taiwanese military at Camp Grayling. Okay, well, did that really happen? Well, thankfully, Molinar himself included a brief video clip courtesy of Up North Live, and I'd like to play it for you right now. Listen.
Well, just in general, do you think it makes sense for Michigan to welcome Taiwan's military for training in our state and then turn around and invite CCP-affiliated companies to build manufacturing facilities in our state?
Congressman, I fully understand the point you're making. I agree with it in principle, and I think it's important that as it relates to our unilateral military activities, our activities with all of our allies and partners, that we should be careful because the PRC is going through several means, physical, espionage, cyber attacks to try to undermine and intervene in those relationships in the United States and around the world. And that's something we ought to be vigilant against.
Now, nowhere in that clip does Assistant Secretary of Defense Ratner say a plant in which its parent company from China should never be built in Michigan. He just says, hey, everybody should always keep their eyes open on what's happening. We already have so many companies doing business here in Michigan that are from China. Molinar knows that. And it's just that those who follow the right-wing echo chamber do not. And that is what Molinar is counting on. Think about it. Where was Molinar attacking his good old buddy, former Republican Governor Rick Snyder, who traveled to China to bring Chinese businesses here? In Anna Gustafson's story, and I quote, Republican Governor Rick Snyder, who held office from 2011 through 2019, led 8 trade missions to China during his tenure. 8. I'm saying that. I'm emphasizing that again. 8 trade missions to China during his tenure. The most of any Michigan governor. I'm going to repeat that one more time. The most of any Michigan governor. Today, there are 269 Chinese companies operating in Michigan that employ about 32,450 workers, according to the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. That's from Anna's story. I mean, how many xenophobic rallies or protests has Molinar joined to stop all of those other companies from setting shop here in Michigan? And again, where was John's criticism of Rick Snyder? Guys, it's all a game. It's all a game. Molinar is against this because it's happening under Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer's watch. She will be the beneficiary of making all of these jobs here in Michigan. She'll get to tout this in the future. And that is why people like John Molinar and all of these other right-wing Republicans are against it. Again, if he were against corporate welfare, I get it. But you see, John Molinar receives money from Dow Chemical in Midland. And well, that's all you need to know about John Molinar. Dow Chemical, by the way, does business with China. John, does that mean the Chinese communists own Midland? Oh my God, whatever will we do, John? Molinar voted against President Biden's infrastructure bill, which is helping Michigan and the country. And now he's against a project that would create thousands of jobs for people in an area which really and desperately needs it? John Molinar says he cares about you and the people in this district, but you know better.
You're listening to the Left of Lansing podcast. The music you're hearing is by Wander Beats. To hear the latest project, check out Space Leopard on your favorite streaming site. Now back to our favorite progressive voice in Michigan, it's Pat Johnston.
That'll do it for this edition of Left of Lansing. Thanks again to my good friend Rich for all of his help with leftoflansing.com. And make Rich feel good about all of his hard work by visiting leftoflansing.com. That's where you can read other thoughts and missives by yours truly. Plus, there's a full archive of all of the podcast episodes. Stay cool this week. And if you want to think about slightly cooler weather, the Detroit Lions have already started training camp. It won't be long until the brand new Lions are back on the field. Oh yeah, I'm giddy. Special thanks again to Anna Gustafson with MichiganAdvance.com. If you haven't visited Michigan Advance, stop over there and you'll see why it's my favorite online publication covering Michigan politics. Until next time, remember, take the battle to them. Thank you, Michigan!
The Left of Lansing podcast was produced by Pat Johnston, written by Pat Johnston, researched by Pat Johnston, edited by Pat Johnston, and hosted by, yes, Pat Johnston. Technical assistance by Dr. Heather. And thanks to our good friend Kirsten for the awesome podcast logo. Remember to visit leftoflansing.com for more news and information. Thanks again for listening to the Left of Lansing podcast.